Did you know that your gut is directly connected to your brain and can contribute to anxiety, stress, and depression, which, by the way, can also impact your sexual health? So here's my secret weapon for gut health, Just Thrive Probiotic. Now listen up. Just Thrive isn't just any ordinary probiotic. It is the only one that survives your stomach acid and reaches your gut 100% alive. All those others, the ones that come in fancy drinks or you gotta refrigerate, nope, that's not even a thing. This is the one. I've noticed significant changes to my overall health. Like, this might be TMI, but I'm way more regular and my skin is glowing. Think of Just Thrive like your personal gut gardener. It maintains the health of your gut by weeding out the bad bacteria that causes all those digestive issues and then replenishes the good, making it a total game changer for your digestion, your immune system, your skin, even your mood and sexual health. And if you want to check out my episode with Just Thrive's founder, Tina Anderson, we talk all about how gut bacteria plays a crucial role in your overall happiness, including your sex life. Because a healthy, balanced gut means less stress and more energy. So if you want to check it out, I'm offering a deal for my listeners. You can save 20% off site-wide at justthrivehealth.com with the promo code SEXWITHEMILY. That's 20% off on the probiotic that's truly changing lives and making waves in the wellness community. Everyone's talking about it. Don't just take my word for it. Try it for yourself. Go to justthrivehealth.com. Use promo code SEXWITHEMILY for 20% off. Imagine a toy so iconic it practically wrote the playbook for pleasure. Allow me to introduce or reintroduce you to the Magic Wand, aka the Cadillac of Vibrators. The Magic Wand Original is a trusted companion in the journey of joy, whether it's your first time chasing an orgasm or you're looking to give your partner a spine-tingling erotic massage. The Magic Wand should be your go-to with powerful rumbles and several different rhythms and patterns. It's no wonder the Magic Wand has scooped up accolades like Vibrator of the Year for decades. I'm so enamored with mine, I've customized my bedside table just to keep it within arm's reach at all times. But the magic doesn't stop with the original Magic Wand. The Magic Wand family has grown over the years, offering a variety of models to suit every lifestyle. Go cord-free with the Magic Wand Rechargeable. Embrace compact power without compromising intensity with the Magic Wand Mini. I love this mini. Or the Micro, which is just teeny tiny and really powerful. Or enjoy a range of sensations with the Magic Wand Plus. Each model delivers the same powerful orgasmic rumble that made the original a legend. So are you ready to experience the magic? Visit sexwithemily.com/magicwand and discover why the Magic Wand continues to enchant pleasure seekers around the globe. That's sexwithemily.com/magicwand. Magic Wand, more than just a vibrator. Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. On today's show, I'm helping you get out of your head to enjoy sex all the way through. Topics include the thoughts that are totally common to have during sex and how to get past them, whether or not to explore your bisexuality when the sex is gone from your marriage, how to navigate online dating without getting unsolicited junk pics, and ways to make mutual masturbation a part of your sex routine. All this and more. Thanks for listening.
To his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily, you got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's gotta have her standards. Oh, my.
Do women know about shrinkage?
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God, that feels so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, check out sexwithemily.com. See all the posts we put up there, the blogs. You can easily subscribe to the podcast everywhere you listen to podcasts. We love when you comment and subscribe on iTunes. That makes everything a whole lot easier. And if you haven't yet, you got to check me out on SiriusXM Radio, Stars Channel 109. I'm there weekdays, Monday through Friday, 5 to 7 Pacific, 8 to 10 East. Whew, what a month it's been there. I am loving it, you guys. I get to really reach so many more of you every day, helping you with your sex and relationships. You got to check it out if you have SiriusXM. If you want a free 30-day trial, visit sexwithemily.com/SXM. Or you can, guys, listen, to be honest, you can just call in because I'm the doc on duty at those times every night. 888-947-8277. As always, follow us on all social media at Sex with Emily across the board. So this show today is going to be some of our SiriusXM, our best of our calls, which I think you're going to enjoy. But also what's been really cool that you guys have been emailing me lately with some of your success stories that have really blown us away. Because I know you guys email and you're like, oh, we love the show and it's been so helpful and great. And I'm always like, well, what specifically what happened? What was so great? And it just it warms our heart. And then tonight, I was just ending my SiriusXM show. And our final call tonight was a man, and he had been married to his wife for 22 years. And he called to tell me thank you. And he said, Emily, I took your advice. And what I did was I focused on the things I appreciate about my wife and not all the things that drove me crazy. And he said, and she noticed after a week. And I said, well, what do you mean? Tell me more, Jay. He said, well, I used to come home and I'd say, what are your shoes in the way? And you didn't move your car out of the driveway. And now I just tell her what I love her and she looks beautiful and how can I help her? And then she said to me, what's going on? You seem different. And I said, well, did you hear about, I've been listening to this Sex with Emily show and she's been telling me these things and I've learned a lot. And he said, I'm trying to get her to listen together. And then the next thing he said was that he did this thing where he put rose petals through the house and said, just follow to the end of the rose petals, and he drew her a bath. And I thought, wow, you know, 63 years old. And he's like, you know, that you can always bring it back, guys. It's never too late. And the cool thing about appreciation is that especially this time of year, it's busy, we're stressed. We're just wired to go to the negative. Like it was a survival mechanism left over from our developing brains, from our ancestors. And so we used to have to worry what's going on and scan the environment. Like, is everybody going to get eaten by a cheetah? Or is the roof going to fall in? So we worry. And we look at bad things. We look at things that are not going well. But if you could just say, you know what? I actually appreciate, even if it's, you have to do it in your head, like, God damn it, why is he late again? And you go, God, you know what? I really appreciate that he's such a great dad. Or I really appreciate, you know, that she always remembers to send my mom a birthday card, or she always brings me home my favorite cookies, whatever. Like, what are the things that you love about your partner? I'm telling you, it adds up over time. If you put all that good stuff in your head and then you share that with your partner, you're going to realize that you're going to end up with a lot more appreciation and a lot less anger and hate. So let's just try it all. Try it for a week. See how it goes. Let me know. I hope you enjoy the show. So some of the things we're going to get into here, I thought this would be interesting to all of you because we all know that sex can be fun and funny, but it can also be awkward, embarrassing, and nerve-wracking, for sure. We all get weirded out by sex. So as often, we're here to tell you that a lot of things that we're tripping out about are not a big deal and are typically are very normal. So here's some thoughts that are completely normal to have before you actually have sex. You might be thinking about, how do I look? I think a lot of us can, men and women, we can imagine that we're thinking before sex, oh, I haven't been working out lately, I haven't been to the gym, I've gained, or just in general, does he notice my cellulite? What are all the things? Is my left boob bigger than my right boob? When we freak out. And when we're doing that and we're freaking out about body image and concerns, these are all going to be the little things that happen, little detractors that are going to take away from you being present and actually having great sex. So if you are distracted by these thoughts, instead of freaking out about it, I'm going to say, do what I always say, and that is stop the thoughts and focus on what's happening in the moment with your partner. If you keep going back to how do I look and you're moving your body and it's awkward, your partner's going to feel that you're not comfortable and then you're both going to be distracted. So try to just appreciate that moment and be focused. And your partner's in bed with you because they love you.
Yeah.
And they want to be with you.
And I think it's like when you are in your head and you're nervous and you're thinking that, and then your partner's looking at you and they're like, oh my God, I'm doing something wrong. What am I doing? So it's just like this like anxiety loop.
It is an anxiety loop.
Of just like back and forth because of like facial expressions and yeah. Things like that.
And we always think that it's us. Like if I was worried, I'm like covering up or pulling away, like because you're our body language, you guys, we can't hide it. Our body language says so much before we even, more than even our faces and our body language can say even more than our words. So if I'm worried and I'm turning away, my partner can be like, why is she not feeling intimate with me? Why is she turning away? It's because I'm worried about what I look like. So another thing is that's normal to think about is, will I be good at sex? How good am I at sex? Am I doing the right thing? And remember that, you guys, when we are turned on during sex, think about it. You're naked and aroused. That's when we're the most vulnerable. Mm-hmm. That's when you find us vulnerable. Yet, of course, we're going to have nervous thoughts and we're going to be worried if we're any good at sex. But my best tip for not feeling nervous during sex is to remember that every moment that you're having sex, you're in a new situation. Because every moment is new. If you focus on the moment, like what does this moment call for? or like what needs to happen, like to be any good at sex. It's really not the kind of thing you could study, in the sense of a lot of it happens in the present moment. So is your partner responding to your touch? Is their breath quickening? Is their cheeks flushing? Are they into it? You can tell. It's not so much about the moves that it is paying attention, because they'll tell you if something hurts, or you can even ask if they want something more.
Yeah. I mean, I think the only time that you really, if someone's like, ow, this is hurting me, that's like really the only time you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. But also they should tell you, hey, this hurts, because I think a lot of people can like, can he tell that like this is not feeling good? It's like, no,
they can't. They can't. In fact, your partner thinks it feels amazing unless you say anything. They're going to assume that everything feels great. And since women, you guys, I'm going to harp on this, and we're going to have some experts on the show in the coming weeks, coming months, because I just think it's really important to kind of help men and women with all the challenges we have around sex. I'm not saying sex is to be easy and a walk in the park. There's always going to be challenges, but one of them is that 80% of women at some point in their life, and some all the time, have pain. And we also normalize that. And your partner does not know unless you tell them. They're also assuming you're having orgasms all the time. Unless you tell them that you're not. So that's all on you. Am I comfortable? Are you comfortable? Are you okay with what's happening? Is it consensual? Is there anything you're uncomfortable with? And I think, again, I can get tripped up in my head like, oh, like I'm not, what would I not be comfortable with during sex? Can you think of what stuff you haven't been comfortable with before? Like if I'm cold even, or is my vibrator nearby?
Yeah,
Do I have condom, lube?
Sometimes, okay, I guess for me, sometimes what will happen is my partner will be leaning his weight on me in a certain way sometimes, and in his mind, completely not aware. But to me, for some reason, I'm like, how are you not aware that you are like about to break my wrist right now by accident?
My wrist is turning blue.
You know, so, but I have to let him know. I'm like, hey, like, can we move? Like, I can't feel my arm.
Right. Oh, you're like, you're a martyr. You wait till it's like turning blue, right? Your heart's right.
I'm like, no, he's going to move in a second. He's going to move. I'm just going to wait, you know, wait till he hits that one stride. But no, you always have to bring it up.
You got to bring it up. And also, if you're just not comfortable, because maybe something, right, either it's a physical pain.
Yeah.
You're about to have to amputate your arm. Or you're just not comfortable. This could be if you're not in a relationship, but you're dating, or you're in a casual relationship, and you're with someone, you're like, God, the last few times I've been with this person, it didn't feel great. And here I find myself at their house again, or we're out again, and I'm not sure I want to have sex. And I remember feeling, as a woman, like, I felt like there were times I didn't want to have sex. Like, not in a terrible way, but just like I was dating someone, I knew it was ending, whatever it is. And I thought, it's harder to say no to sex. I might as well just have sex. Because to say no and to explain why I don't want to felt bad. But now with all that I know about consent and how to actually recognize if your body is on board with what you want to do with your brain and your body, I would be like, I would say to someone now, like, you know, I'm actually not feeling this. I think it's that people pleasing. I wouldn't want someone not to like me, even if we're already, you know, by pulling back and having sex. So I think it really asks yourself, are you mentally and physically comfortable?
I feel like that's like a message that kind of gets lost too sometimes, especially for women and for men. I've actually like seen some things where men have like unwanted sex because it's like of society and stuff. It's like, it's like they should just be wanting it if someone's offering it. But I think in this society of like where women are taught to say no as like a form of like, I guess, like no not mean, like, you know, like
no means yes, or just say no.
Like how sometimes women are like taught to say no, and it's like kind of on them whether or not they have the sex in that sense, but like not in a good way.
Right.
I feel like that gets lost in the sense that women then do want to be people pleasers, and they're like, it's going to be so hard to tell them I don't want
and
it because of this.
And feelings.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also that's why women fake orgasms too. It all comes back to that too. Like, we don't want that partner to feel bad that we're not going to get there. But enough of that, you guys. I think that the more purposeful, intentional, and enjoyable sex we have, the better sex life we're going to have. So if sex is great, we should say no. Okay, the other thing is, you guys, I think we all think about this. Will I have an orgasm? Is it going to be good? Am I going to have an orgasm? And no one knows. There's not like an O predictor. I guess if I use my toys, I pretty much know I'm going to get there.
That would be a cool thing though.
What? Tell me.
Like an O predictor? Like somehow you can tell like it's gonna happen.
I know,
or it's
right? Is there something like if you're like if your
thermometer.
Brain or no, if your brain is tied up to one of those like EKGs or something, those machines are like, will she O? That'd be so great. You're like, babe, not gonna happen tonight. It's like your ovulation schedule, like your O schedule. not going to have an O, like Sunny with a Chance of No O. We are out. But it's true. The more comfortable you are with your partner and telling them if you're going to have an orgasm or not. But here, don't focus on the orgasm is my point, too.
Yeah.
If you're not going to, who cares? Intimacy, sex, kiddling. Kissing and cuddling is kiddling.
I like that. Let's coin that.
I'm telling you. I just, I'm so loquacious. Wait, so if you guys, so here's... If your mind is wandering, you guys, here's the point. Before sex, that is common. That's going to happen. Your mind is wandering before, during, and after. And so I'm just acknowledging it, either saying, okay, I'm having these thoughts. They're not necessarily true. They're not necessarily what's real. I'm going to breathe and go back to the moment, or letting your partner know, no, I'm not comfortable, or I'm not sure I'm going to have an orgasm. You'd be amazed at speaking the truth, how much that can help you with sex. When it's not done in a blaming, shaming way, it's just like, here's my reality now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm worried about the orgasm. I'm worried about what, you know, or just really most important thing for all these things. When your brain is involved with sex, it's your most, even though your brain's the largest sex organ, we can unpack that another time. But when your brain is worrying of all these thoughts, you're going to be having less orgasms and less pleasurable sex. All right, guys, we're going to take a quick break and we come back with your calls. There's nothing quite like sinking your teeth into a good sandwich. But listen, carb guilt is real. I'm someone who's very invested in my health, and I like to get my carbs from oats and beans and fruits and not bread. But I love bread. So here's my hack. Thanks to Hero Bread, you can enjoy your favorite bready delights without the carb consequences. Hero Bread has turned those carby, empty calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious breads that boast 0 to 1 net carbs per serving, 0 grams of sugar, and are packed with loads of fiber and protein. The first time I tried their white bread, I was skeptical. Could it really taste good with such impressive nutritional stats? Well, I'm pleasantly surprised to say it absolutely does. The texture is just phenomenal. It's like this soft, airy, and it just toasts up like a dream. I've whipped up everything from grilled cheese to PB&J and even made enchiladas, wraps, and tacos with their tortillas. Each time, Hero Bread has been a game changer. And here's the kicker. Despite its light texture and great taste, Hero Bread fits perfectly into my health goals. It's been adding more fiber to my diet while keeping the sugar at bay. Whether I'm packing a picnic lunch, planning a road trip snack, which I often do, or prepping French toast for breakfast, Hero Bread is my go-to. So whether you're craving a classic sandwich, a burger, or a hearty bun, or even indulging in a low net carb croissant, Hero Bread is something for everyone. And I highly recommend checking their monthly small batch drops out so you can try goodies like the 1 gram net carb Hero Cheddar Biscuit and so much more. You won't believe what they have. So you ready to kick carb guilt to the curb? Head over to hero.co and snag 10% off your order with the code Emily. That's Emily at hero.co.
All right, we have Eric. He's 40 in Arkansas, and he's a straight male, but he has bisexual fantasies.
All right, hey, Eric.
Hey, Emily, I love your show. Thanks for taking my call.
Of course. Thank you, Eric. Thanks for calling.
I have a question. I'll kind of give you a little bit of background. I've been bi curious, kind of, for about 20 years.
Okay.
Married, just normal straight guy. Took me a long time to figure out that I'm really not, like, gay, because I have these thoughts. And I thought, well, man, maybe I am gay, but I'm not. I figured that out, and that's fine. I'm comfortable in that, but I have curious, that I'm just extremely curious.
Bi curious.
I like. Yeah, I like watching porn. If the opportunity ever presented itself, yeah, I might do it, but I'm not going to cheat on my wife. I have no desire to go out and do all that stuff. I watch some bi gay porn and stuff, and I really enjoy it. Sometimes I feel kind of guilty.
All right.
Is it wrong for me to have this kind of secret life, even though I'm not doing anything?
Completely. You know what I mean? Yeah, it is, Eric. It's really common that we just have these fantasies that we feel shame and we feel like it's secretive and we don't want to share with our partner. So yes, that is very typical. I think a lot of us have things that we don't feel great about. So I wouldn't even say that it's a secret life. I don't think that you've done anything wrong by having these fantasies and watching the porn. But what I would love is if, I don't know, you, how long have you been with your wife?
Around 12 years.
12 years. I mean, do you think it's something, are you ready to kind of try it, or no, you'd rather just keep it as a fantasy?
Oh, I would love to try it. I mean, if it was the opportunity.
Well, do you think she'd be, have you talked to her about it?
No, she's not open to that stuff. I mean, she's pretty straight-laced.
Does she know, right?
really not into sex at all, to be honest. Really, she's not. It's sex isn't her thing. We go quite a long time without sex. Pretty rare, but she has some issues in her past that I accept that, and I don't try to change that about her, which that's okay. But
okay, so she's not really into, and you haven't shared that you have these fantasies with her, correct?
No, not at all.
Okay. So here's the thing, Eric. I also think that maybe you guys aren't having sex at all. How often are you having sex?
It's been about a year.
Okay. So for a couple, that just makes me, I want you guys to be, have sex more often. It's just part of having a healthy sex life. It also makes sense, Eric, that your fantasies are probably becoming a lot more intense. Maybe you're watching porn more because you're a man, woman. We all need to have sexual, fulfillment. And so there's a lot here to unpack, because I know you said you don't want to bother her about what happened when her issues, but I think that, if she was open to it, going to therapy and discussing any issues would be really important, or going into therapy together. Because here's the thing. I understand that we can all say you could be with your wife and be like, you know what? It's okay. Sex is important. We're best friends. We care for each other. If you have kids, you're like, we're great parents. But the sex is important in a relationship. And so I kind of want you guys to work on that if you can, but also this fantasy, if she's just totally shut down to it, or either way, I would like her to know that you have this fantasy so you can, if you can actually act it out, if she would be open to it or you'd be into it. But it sounds like there's going to be some more communication that needs to go on with both of you. If you guys have never talked about sex, I'm assuming you haven't really talked about it.
We do.
Oh, you do?
We talk about it quite a bit,
good.
Actually.
Oh, okay, good. So what kind of things do you guys talk about?
Well, it's kind of weird because it kind of goes up and down. Sometimes we talk a lot about it. Sometimes we don't talk about it. We joke with each other sometimes, some funny things. And I don't know. We don't really, she's not really into talking about what she likes, what I like, things like that. It's more, like I said, kind of jokes and talking, well, we might try it again or we might do this again. But really what she likes is not, or what I like is not really open for discussion.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I would love to see that open for discussion with you guys, because typically it's not open for discussion because she's never talked about it with anyone, and she might not even know what turns her on, which is really common. So everything that you're talking about now happens to a lot of couples. But it's really important, I think. You're gonna be with her, right, for the rest of your life. I mean, this is your wife and your woman. So they just need to talk about it more and let her know how much, you love her, and you'd love to get to a place where you guys are both being really satisfied. And so maybe you start out with because I don't like that it's shut down, that she will never talk about it, but it could take some coaxing. She doesn't have to answer you tonight, if you bring it up, and don't bring it up in the bedroom. But maybe when next time you guys are out to dinner, or you're just kind of relaxed, lying around the house, you get to say, I love you, babe, but I love having sex with you, but I want to get to a place where we're both really satisfied sexually. What could we do here? I want to work with you, and then you could have time to bring up your fantasy. So if you're ready, there's nothing wrong with you fantasizing about being bisexual, or if you think you are, but I want you guys to work on your sex life together, and then maybe you'll find out that there'll be a good time for you to let her know what you're into, and you'll find out more what she's into, because you have nothing to lose here, right? All you have to gain now is that your sex life could get better, and you could, get closer together. And just because she's not open now doesn't mean that she won't be down the line. It's not a fixed state, okay? Thanks, Eric, because it's important. It really is. It matters. So.
Oh, I agree.
All right.
I wish it would be better, and I work on it really, really hard. I've worked on that for several years
now. Well, it sounds like it.
Maybe we're turning the corner, but I sometimes feel guilty, she's trying, and I'm trying, but I have other thing going on the side. Not for real, but just...
No, I get it. But it makes sense, Eric. I'm going to tell you, you're not doing anything wrong at all. So there's no, I don't think you should have the guilt. God, we have so much guilt in life. You should not have guilt about this, but it sounds like you've been trying, and it sounds like you need to get her. It shouldn't be a one-way street, right? Because you're both in your sexual, it's a relationship. Both of you create this connection together. So maybe just changing up the tactic and getting her to talk more, and you'll figure it out, Eric, but just keep going with it. You're going to get what you want. Just takes work. Thanks a lot. Thanks, Eric, for calling Sex with Emily.
We have Lara from Pennsylvania. She's 27 and wants to know the best way to go about online dating.
Oh, okay. Hey, Laura. Thanks for calling.
Hi. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Of course. It's a good online dating. Talk to me. Yeah.
Yeah. So I've been single for a little while now, and all of my friends are married or engaged to be engaged, that whole thing. And I am tired of being alone.
Yeah.
And I want to try online dating. I work a lot, so it's hard for me to go out and meet a lot of people, and I'm sort of over that whole bar scene kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking online dating is the best bet for me, but I just don't know how to go about doing it with, like, it can be so overwhelming. You can get so many creepers. You can get...
Yeah. That's a really good question. No, I love this because...
And how to not get, like, the sexting right away. Like, the guys will send you the dick pics.
Yeah.
And everything. I don't need that.
I agree. No, I'm so glad. This is such a great question because we're all dating online right now. Now, here's many people are dating online, and I think it's great. I think it's a numbers game. I think that if you really want to meet someone, you should date online. You should meet people in real life. You should let everyone know that you're single if you're really looking for a partner. But starting to date online. So here's the thing. You want to create, there's so many choices now. There's like the swipe apps, right? So Bumble is really popular. That's where the women have to make the first move on a match. So you're really not going to get as many creepers. You might, but you have to message them first if you both match. I can talk. So do you know which apps you're going to go on? Because I would say just kind of explore. People really like Hinge right now. Coffee Meets Bagel. People are really enjoying that one. Happn is one. Like if you live in a town, like Happn, where people who often cross your path. So there's a lot of different apps. You can find that out. But what you want to do with online dating is make sure that you ask some friends maybe to help you. Put a few pictures up that make you feel good. Show that you're, maybe the things you love doing. If you're active or you hike or you speak or play piano. Apparently, we just read a study today. If you have a dog, that women who show their dogs in their dating photos get more matches. So that's just maybe you could borrow a friend's dog. Good to know. You have a dog?
They're all over me right now.
So. Oh, there you go. 69% more matches if you have a dog as a woman. So about messaging. So here's my belief with it. So I understand that you're having fears around it because you haven't done it yet. But you realize you'll get into a rhythm. So my thing is like, I want to make sure if a guy messages me, like, that he's read my profile. He's not just like, hey, because I have no time for hey. Like, at least make a comment. So we both went to University of Michigan. Or I see you like hiking. That looks like a trail I went on. Pay attention. So know that you've said something. And then I like to message back, but here's where I cut off, Laura. I don't want to go back and forth and back and forth. And then if it turns into sexting right away, I'm like out. You can block them. You can cut them off. I like to say that I will message for a few times, but then I say, let's meet or let's talk on the phone, which I think sounds kind of bold, but for some people are like, oh, no way. I don't even talk on the phone to my mother. But to me, you can save a lot of time by not having to get up, get ready, go meet someone when you're like not into them. So I think even talking on the phone for a few minutes to vet them, but make sure that process is quick. Like, you don't want it to go on for 3 weeks. Like, there's some people we hear from, they're like, we're in love. We've never met, but we've been messaging for a month or something. So right. I think that you can pretty much have control of it, you can kind of learn to avoid those people. And they're not just hookup apps too. I feel like when people worry about that, that's just another thing they throw. Sure, people are dating on Tinder, and I think Tinder's great too, because I think you can control your messaging. Like, if you're not available for hooking up, you could say no hookups. You could just not respond to people who make it seem like that's what they want. So I feel like if you're smart about it, you can kind of cultivate an online dating behavior that will work for you.
That's awesome advice, because I always think like, they're all going to be sexting and everything like that. And
no.
Not that I'm not into that, but, I want to get to know you first before I start seeing pictures of you.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't want your dick pic or anything like that. Right. I get it. And I said, I feel like if you're smart about it, like, you can just block them. It's done. And you control the message. You control when you see them. Like, you let them know, like, I'm not into this. Let's pick up the phone. And then you could see who's serious, who's not. If they just, So right. I think you'll know once you start. But I love that you're just do it. Like, and then you could fine tune it. If you're like, this profile wasn't great, I'll rewrite what I'm saying here. And you'll just learn through the process. Talk to your friends who have done it. I think we might have some stuff on our website at sexwithemily.com about online dating. Maybe. I think we do. Had some tips. We've done some podcasts about it too. So good luck, Laura. If you want to call back once you get your profile up, I can help you as you move along. I'm here every night. So forget all the warnings.
So
just do it and trust your gut. Thanks, Laura. Thanks for calling Sex with Emily. I think we know people, like, we can kind of tell, like, if someone's going off in a direction that doesn't feel good, like, trust your gut with these things. Don't waste your time.
And you can find love. I have a friend. They're madly in love. Met on Bumble.
Yeah. People find love on. It's not even like this anomaly anymore. Like people are finding love, sustainable love online because it is a numbers game, and you will just simply meet more people that way. You might have to date 100 people, but you're going to find someone more likely than sitting home and scrolling through Instagram. So that's how I feel about that. I love online dating, though. We also have some great tips. We could also do online dating tips. We've got some good things about profiles and what to say and what not to say.
Okay, we have Jessica, 37, in Mississippi, and she wants to make her sex life better when she's dealing with trauma.
All right. Hey, Jessica, thanks for calling.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, I got you.
Hi. I actually met my husband through a dating site, so that's awesome. I'm married.
And, oh, good.
I've been married for 5 years.
Great.
I guess I deal with a lot of, I do in-home services for counseling, and I deal with a lot of kids who've dealt with trauma, so there's a lot of secondary trauma and dealing with my own traumas, I guess.
Okay.
So it interferes with my sex life and being intimate with my husband, and he's normally the initiator, and that obviously for him is frustrating. He's like, I want you to initiate. I want you to make the effort, but me, it's not so much.
Yeah.
Not so much fun.
Yeah, I get it. The initiation thing can be a thing in relationships, like figuring out, like, what does that mean? And how do I even know when I want to have sex? And I'm used to him initiating. But first, let's go back to the trauma for a second. So was it a sexual trauma?
Yes, I was sodomized at a very young age. It was a gang rape.
So, Jessica, I'm sorry to hear that. Have you had any treatment around it?
I'm actually in therapy right now.
Great.
I have it's secondary eating disorder off of the trauma. So I'm dealing with a lot. It's not just the trauma, I guess, per se, with the sex stuff. It's also body image stuff, and so it's deeper and it's festered. So it's like when I do have sex, it's obligatory almost. It's like, oh, it's my duty, this is what I do. I don't really enjoy it.
Got it.
And I guess that's part of
You're like, I'm not going to initiate it because, I don't even enjoy this. So the further I can stay away. Right. So have you ever, has there been a period in your life where you felt like you did enjoy sex?
Maybe when I first got married.
Okay.
I was married before and I got divorced. So right. I think that has something to do with it too. But
right.
It never was enjoyable to the point of, having orgasms. The only way I've ever had an orgasm is through,
masturbation.
Using toys.
That's awesome, though. So I would say, here's what I would say to you, is that this seems like, and I'm so glad you're in therapy working on all this, trauma, working on the eating disorders. I mean, that's all tied in body image. So, my prescription, the number one I think would say is masturbation and self-love, really doing more of that. And when you're masturbating, figure out, what is turning you on? What gets you in the mood? Where does your mind go? Do you have fantasies? It is true that the more women really masturbate, because it is self-love, hashtag self-love, because because then you realize, wow, my body can give me such pleasure and it can make me feel really good. And it also can help you get into the mood. Masturbation will help you realizing your body is this beautiful thing that can help you have pleasure. So is that something that you think you might want to do more often, or you could also do it with your partner, with your husband, mutual masturbation?
He's open to anything.
Well, it sounds like you were a really loving husband. So here's the other thing you might ask about the initiation thing. You could say to him, I know you want me to initiate more. Sounds like you've shared your stuff with him. You could say, I'm not sure what that looks like, or that's more challenging. Can you tell me what initiating looks like to you? And he might say, I just want you to kiss my neck, or I just want you to text me that when you get home tonight, we're going to have sex. It looks different to everyone. And sometimes we just need more information when our partners put down a declaration like that.
That's such a simple answer to a huge problem.
Yeah.
Or a huge argument, I guess.
Yeah. There you go. I would ask him tonight and say, babe, I want to please you. I want to shape, but with all my stuff going on, I just need to know from you, what does it look like? And then you guys could start a conversation, and that might just be okay, I'm going to start with this one thing. He said he wants me to kiss his neck. I'm going to kiss his neck. You know what I'm saying? And then it makes it easier for you. Yeah? to get it going.
So simple.
Yeah, there you go. A lot of this stuff is, I'm just here to help you guys, you know. It can be simple. We just got to act on it, you know?
Okay. Yeah, I like your show.
Thank you, Jessica. Well, let me know how it goes, okay? I'll be here for you every night. I'm here for you all. A lot of it is stuff. Maybe it is simple. You're right. It's little things, you guys. Little talks. Communication is a lubrication. The more we talk about it, the better sex we're going to have. Okay, everyone. Thanks for listening to the show. I appreciate you all. And to my amazing team, Ken, Sarah, producer Jamie, and Michael. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com.